It becomes very, very difficult, and it causes great harm. It also does damage to the missions, the purpose, when we send out the immature. It's interesting, and it's a real struggle because, you know, in the adult level maturity, we talked about how significant and important it's been for, you know, in the Mormon church, for their young people to go out on their missions, to go out on that 2-year mission and proclaim their identity and those sort of things. And there's certainly a powerful concept there. But one other concept that I see quite often is I get emails and phone calls from missionaries on the field who are dealing with addiction issues. And their lives are unraveling and there's all sorts of messes. Is that we've, you know, their churches or they've been sent out to lead communities, to build communities when they were still very young in their faith. They were still very young in their maturity. And as a result, they get wrapped up in addictions. They've, you know, dealt with talked to missionaries before who ended up having multiple affairs within the mission. And so much of it is a maturity issue. They were placed in roles far beyond their ability to handle. Okay? It does damage to churches. When we put immature men or women on elder boards, if we had several hours, I could give you lots of stories. Okay, Jim Wilder has some great stories. Mine, I'm still a little too close to tell very many of them because too many of those people are still alive. All right, but it does great damage. It also damages a potential elder's development. Hey, my friend who was asked to be an elder, I am thoroughly convinced if he would have accepted that, it would have stunted his maturity because he would have become too focused in trying to manage the business of their church community rather than doing what he needed to make his next step forward in his maturity. It damages the big picture for all involved. After all, you become consumed with things that aren't the focus, and so you lose sight of the big picture. And I've already alluded to this, but it damages the trust-building task that true elders with earned maturity face. Just recently, I was meeting with an individual who had a mentor who tried to help him on his journey. And as he was telling me, as he's told me a little bit more about things that the mentor did to try to help him solve his problems, I'm just shaking my head and saying, that's scary. It's real scary. And so guess what? He's really gun-shy now. You know, he's entering our ministry, our recovery ministry, very fearful of, okay, is this really safe place here? To which I keep telling them, you know, you feel free to ask that question all you need to ask. Because I understand from what you've told me why that's such a big question for you. And that is what happens when we when individuals step into eldering roles before they've achieved elder level maturity. Okay? Well, now let's step back and think a little bit about where we've been over the last 7 weeks. And we've talked about the different levels of maturity, the needs and the tasks. And, you know, I think anytime I talk about maturity issues with people, everybody sort of gets it. What I mean by that is we all know that we want to grow up. We all know that we don't want to spend the rest of our lives at infant level maturity, that we want to move into at least adult, if not parent and elder level maturity. But so the question I want us to think about for a moment is, what stunts our growth? What stunts our ability to move through these stages and to be more mature and to be more able to handle the meat of the word? And to be able to care for others and not just ourselves. Well, first and most obvious, and we've talked about this at every step of the way, is that unmet needs play a huge role. Remember, one of the childhood tasks is learning to ask for what you need. OK, Okay, if you grew up in a family that never taught you that you need to ask for what you need, but just interpreted you shaking your sippy cup or, you know, shaking your empty glass. If you grew up in a family that did not help you learn to use your words to ask for what you need. Or if you grew up in a family where when you asked for what you needed, you were either ignored or else shot down and got attacked for asking for what you need, then it's really difficult to learn that task. Okay? A second thing that stunts growth is unhealed trauma. And what I mean by this is that you, for years, even prior to really doing the work I did in my own recovery and the work I do in our recovery ministry, I can remember people talking about someone experiencing a trauma and getting stuck at kind of that age level. And we see this all the time in working with broken people. That when there's been trauma, there is invariably a part of that person that's stuck at the age of that trauma until that trauma is fully healed. And just a quick note here, there's different types of trauma. We call type A trauma is the absence of good things. Okay, for example, all the needs we've been talking about, when those aren't met, that's a type A trauma. And type A traumas, and type A traumas can be and often are just as and even sometimes more debilitating than what we typically think of as trauma. Because, well, let me go ahead and introduce type B trauma is the bad things that happen to us. Okay, the things that happen when, you know, the example I give all the time, one of my group leaders had an alcoholic father who beat him on numerous occasions with a crescent wrench. And the first time he told that story, I remember sitting there in group thinking, oh, well, it makes perfect sense why you're messed up. But why am I messed up when that never happened, nothing like that ever happened to me? Okay, well, go back to the type A traumas. And also go back to the reality that many times we have traumas that we do not recognize them for what they are. Okay, but anytime there's trauma, whether it's the absence of good things or whether it's something bad that happens to us, it has a great potential for getting us stuck and not being able to move forward in our maturity until we allow God to heal those places. But then third thing I want us to see is that failing to receive the Father's provision, I think, is probably one of, if not the most significant reasons why we stay stuck in our maturity. Okay, for example, if you've recognized through this series places where you had needs that were been unmet, well, question, do you think your Heavenly Father has a desire for those needs to be met in your life? You know, I think there's something in the Sermon Mount about Jesus saying, if your earthly father gives you good gifts, how much more so your Heavenly Father? Okay? God's heart for each one of us is for our needs to be met. And I believe that it grieves Him, that it breaks His heart, that those needs were not and have not at this point been met in our life. And I believe that as we ask Him to, He will fill those needs. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, yeah, but you don't know how great my need list is. You don't know how extensive it is. There's no way that could ever be provided for me. Well, how great is our God? And you need to understand that sometimes He may provide for those needs through an individual. He may bring a spiritual adoption relationship into your life. He may bring you a new spiritual mother or father. Or He may bring you a whole community of people to begin making up for what's been missed. And sometimes He may just meet us of just His own person and power in those very places. But I think one of the biggest problems that we have is that many times we don't recognize His provision Because we've already decided what it should look like. I gave the example several weeks ago about, you know, driving home and feeling very convicted that I was supposed to ask for what I needed for something. I think if I would have ignored that conviction and not asked for what I needed, I think very likely I could still be stuck at that stage of not being able to ask for what I need. But because I followed the Father's lead, listened to the conviction, and asked for what I need and discovered what a cool thing it is to ask for what you need and somebody meets you there, guess what? The next time I needed to ask for something, it was a whole lot easier. And yes, at times there's still tinges of, oh, am I really going to ask for that? But they are so much less than they have ever been. And so as we've gone through this series, when you identify the tasks that you haven't accomplished yet, those are opportunities for you to ask the Father to show you how to engage the tasks. There is a cooperative effort here. And as we engage those tasks, we move forward in our recovery. So again, we come back full circle. When you recognize the holes in your maturity, what do I do to fill those holes? What do I do? And again, the analogy we're using here is of Swiss cheese, that if, you know, all of our maturity is much like Swiss cheese, that if you stack it up all together, you can see it may measure up to adult or even parent-level maturity as a whole, but there's holes in it that may go all the way back to infant level. And what's real important is to recognize where those holes are and to be very proactive about moving into them. And so kind of the process that we've talked about numerous times, but I just want to close up this series with a reminder of it, is that when you recognize the holes in your maturity, the first thing to do is to ask the Father to provide the relationships I need to learn the tasks. When you recognize the infant level, child level needs that were not provided for you, then go to your Heavenly Father and very specifically and deliberately ask Him to provide the relationships you need. And then secondly, closely connected with that, is ask the Father to show me the relationships He has already provided. Again, it goes back to what I was talking about a minute ago. Many times the relationships are right there, but we don't see them because they don't look like what we thought they would. And so we need to ask Him to open the eyes of our heart so that we can see what He has for us. And then third, ask the Father to show me the opportunities He's providing me to learn the tasks. I will guarantee you, if you start asking the Father to help you grow in your maturity, that you will, almost on a daily basis, see these tasks pop out in front of you with opportunities. And most of the time, the first thought that will hit your mind, if it's a lot like me, is, man, I wish I didn't know that. It's because when we first see the opportunity, it seems overwhelming, it seems too much, it seems impossible. But that is just the enemy's attempt to convince us through intimidation that we cannot move forward. And then fourth, we need to, from that place, then take proactive steps to practice the tasks. If you realize that you have not yet accomplished the task of asking for what you need, then guess what your job is? To look for opportunities to ask someone for what you need. And to step into those and learn what the Father has for you in that. And then finally, just as a reminder, if we want to fill our holes, one of the most important things we can do is learn from our failures. Again, as I've said many times through this series, what have you ever done well the first time you tried to do it? How well did you ride a bike the first time the training wheels came off? How well did you play a guitar the first time you picked it up? How well did you play a piano? How well did you play the sport you played in high school? How well did you do anything when you first began? You didn't. And guess what? We will have countless failures as we try to step into growing our maturity. But guess what, folks? That's where knowing who our God is and knowing that when we fail, He sees us with delight. Because He sees us not in the light than the voice that we so often hear, you know, that critical parental voice that says, "Why can't you do this?" But He instead sees us with delight and says, "Wow, I am so excited that you tried. And what can we learn from this failure?" And when we begin to have that perspective of our Heavenly Father, then we can more able to step into these places. And the more of these places that we step into, guess what happens? The more maturity we start to receive. And yes, there's going to be hard things. And, you know, I briefly mentioned trauma earlier, and I feel like I need to come full circle back to that for a moment. For many of us, for most of us, there is an absolute necessary step of asking Jesus to reveal to us what traumas are holding us back, and then asking Him to meet us in those places. And that's where we found the Emmanuel process that I've been teaching and doing for years here so powerful. Because as Jesus meets us in those places, then He heals the wound. And then when the wound's healed, guess what? Then we can learn the maturity task. The task, but it's critical to note, healing the wound doesn't teach us the maturity task. It just creates a foundation that we can stand on so that we can learn the task. But the healing of those wounds is so critical. And guess what? It's so important to Jesus who came for us. His very first sermon, He got up and He read the scroll of Isaiah and He said, "I have come to heal, to bind up the wounds of the brokenhearted, and to set the captives free." And that's His desire for each one of us. So let's pray. Father, as we wrap up this mini-series on maturity, I know that it impacts us in a lot of different ways. And so, Lord, first and foremost, I just want to pray against the condemnation that I know the enemy is leveling against each one of us. That condemnation of why don't you have this figured out? This condemnation of, well, you're just an infant and you'll always be an infant and all of those things, Lord. And I just pray that we can instead just receive your conviction. And that even when your conviction is hard, even when you point out ways that we are at infant level maturity, that you don't do that to crush us. You do that so that we can know where we need to work and how to move forward. And that you do that and you offer us hope. Because, Lord, there is great hope in recognizing these things and being able to specifically look at ways that we can grow up and mature and ways that we can become the mature people that you are calling us to become. And Lord, I know that each one of us has different traumas, different impediments, different things that have prevented us from moving forward in the past. And so, Lord, I pray that you protect us from any pride or any sense of looking down on others because they're not as far along as we are, but just to recognize the joy there can be in community as we work together and on our own, on moving forward in our maturity. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would bring each one of us into greater and greater levels of maturity as we move forward in this life that you have for us. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Well, as we wrap up this section, as we leave today, let me just encourage you to ask the Father to show you what He's wanting to provide for you and what He's wanting you to learn and to step into today. And I promise it will be a blessing on your journey. And with that, we are dismissed.